take your Bible and go to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter number 3. Now, if you don't have a Bible, that's fine. We'll have it on the screen there for you in just one second. Daniel chapter number 3. This is a very familiar story to you. In Daniel chapter number 3, and when we get started, you're going to be familiar with it, because you have been in, if you've been in Sunday school any length of time, or vacation Bible school, whatever it is, then you already know this story, or maybe you haven't heard it in a while. But here in Daniel chapter 3, I want to begin reading in about verse number 13. And let me just say this, let me read the first part of verse 1 and 2, and then we'll pick up in verse 13. But over there in verse number 1, Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. A score is 20, 60 at 60. And the breadth thereof, 6 cubits. He set it up in the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. This image that King Nebuchadnezzar probably made him an image of himself. Nebuchadnezzar was very prideful. But notice this thing was 6 by 6 by 6. That's what this image, the dimensions of this image. But Nebuchadnezzar in verse 2, the king sent together the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors, the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of this image, which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes and the governors and the captains, the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province were gathered together, and the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar the king was set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then had a herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O people, nations, language, that at the time that you hear the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp and the sackbut and the psaltery and the dulcimer and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now I know you've heard this story before, but the king made this image, and he wanted, when the music started, he wanted everybody to bow down and worship this image of himself, that the dimensions were 6 by 6 by 6. Very interesting. But then we'll know by picking up in the story, there were 3 Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or Yoshak, Meshach, and a bungalow. Whichever way you've heard the story. But in verse number 13, you already know that these boys didn't bow. And then in verse 13, here we go. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it of a truth, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not serve ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, and the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I've made, well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Boy, Nebuchadnezzar is, he's treading on thin ice. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now you say, what in the world does that mean, we're not careful? We don't care. King, we don't care. We are not full of care. We don't care. We'll be glad to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Notice what they said. Even if our God don't deliver us, we still ain't bowing down to your stupid God. Boy, how many of us got that kind of faith? Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was, I can't read that on the back wall, was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men. He got the biggest man in his army that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen. Now, don't let that bother you. That's those tights that men wore under their robes, that old oriental stuff. And their hosen, their hats, and their garments, and their other garments were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent in the furnace, exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of in the burning fire furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed. Stay in your seat. Don't stay in your seat. Don't, whatever you do, don't get excited on that. He said, lo, I see four. We threw in three. I see four loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. It don't seem like the fire is hurting them in any way. And the fourth, or the form of the fourth, is like the Son of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning. Just reading the passage of Scripture, that's a sermon within itself. I sure do thank you. And Lord, I pray right now that you would help us for the next little bit. God, I thank you for it. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us get that we need. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. I wish I could tell y'all that when you get saved, you'll never see another hospital, you'll never see another funeral home, you'll never see another ICU waiting room, you'll never have another backache, your knee will never hurt again. If you watch television, you say, well, if you get saved, and boy, you'll have three Cadillacs and a two-car garage and a three-story house, and all the bills will be paid and all of that. But that's just not found in the Bible. It doesn't matter if you're saved, serving God, you come to church every time a door's open, you're still going to face trouble and trial. Matter of fact, Job said this. Job said, a man that's born of a woman is full of days and full of trouble. Everywhere you look, there's going to be trouble on every side. You're not going to get around it. That just means we're a card-carrying member of the human race. Trouble just comes. Trouble will see its way into your life one way or another. You're either headed for trouble, you're in trouble right now, or you just come out of trouble. Everybody in the room is that way. So there's two responses. Either we can say, all right, I quit. Or number two, we can learn how to walk in the midst of the fire. You don't have but two options. Either you can fold your hands up and say, I quit, or you can learn to walk by faith in the midst of the fire. And I'll be honest, folks, in a world and in a country that has lost its absolute mind, we don't need a church that's quitting. We don't need Christians that quitting. We need people to stand, rise up, stand up, step up, and tell the devil to shut up, because we are not sitting down. We won't bend. We won't bow. And we ain't planning on burning. Amen. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the church of the living God to stand up and to speak up. I don't know if this will offend you or not, but let me just try to help you right here. The government, any government, Babylonian government, the American government, does not have the Christian's best interest at heart. No matter, it doesn't matter. Let me get on this side so I can just balance it all out. Look here, I don't care who you vote for. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. I'm just here to tell you the government does not have your best interests at heart. Even though we have the best government money can buy. The government didn't have these Christians' best interest at heart. They wanted them to succumb and to bow down to their program and to bow down to their image. But number one, let me give you a 3-point outline. Number one, the commitment that steered them. These three boys, matter of fact, that's not their real names. That was their Babylonian names. Their Jewish names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But when they came into Babylonian captivity, the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar changed their name to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But they had Jewish names, and they were raised in a Jewish family, and they were raised to serve only the true and the living God. Matter of fact, I think something in the Ten Commandments say, "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me." And so these boys had a commitment. Like, watch this. Their commitment did not start when they were facing the fiery furnace. They made a commitment long before the fiery furnace ever came their direction. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't decide to be committed when you're facing a fiery furnace. You need to make a commitment long before you ever get there that I'm going to do this, I'm going to serve God no matter what comes. Even if God don't deliver me, I still ain't bowing down to their gods. Amen. 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 The commitment that steered them. These boys made a commitment. Commitment, this is what it says. I looked it up. A promise, firm decision to do something. A commitment, energy to do a job, activity, or something you believe in. Think about this. Think about the commitment level that those men had when they flew those airplanes into the Twin Towers. Pull the camera up real close. If you're just wondering, all of them are terrorists. Anyway, let me get off of that. Lower my blood pressure's getting up. Though commitment level that they went to, they had a commitment that they went and learned to fly airplanes. They were committed for several months into this thing. And when they got and they hijacked those planes, they were committed. They were going to finish the job. It didn't matter what come in their way. They were going to finish the job, and they were going to die for a dead God that they serve. But if we had some Christians that were committed to take a stand for a God that doesn't require them to die for him, because their God, Jesus Christ, died for me. Amen. We need that kind of commitment. These Hebrew boys would not bow. They would not bend. They took a stand. We need a generation to stand in this world that has lost their minds. My boys can tell you. Now, Kayla was a little younger back then, but my boys can tell you. When they were back then, I was going, when I was younger, man, I was pastoring and going somewhere just about every week to a camp meeting or Bible conference or something, and singing in between there and doing all. They've been in church more. Now, I know you can't tell it now, but they've been in church more. Growing up. And listen, I'm going to tell you, we'd go into a church. And I only have one gear. I preach the same way, whether it's 20 sitting out there or 500. Don't make any difference. I got one gear, preach the same way. And boy, we went into this church, and sometimes, they don't act like y'all. Every church don't act like y'all, you say. Every church don't have a guy that's on the edge of his seat over here just waiting for a good time to stand up and say, "Woo, glory." Every church don't have that. I went in this church, and boy, they had probably about 50 people or whatever, and the boys went with me, and they're with me, and they're probably 5, 6, 7, somewhere along in there. And they've been in church long enough to know if the Lord is there or if he ain't. And boy, you know, and when you go and you, I've been preaching long enough. I don't know much about changing oil in the truck, but I know something a little bit about preaching.
And I know when you get into a dead crowd like that, then you hit them with a joke. Sometimes that don't even work. They only had two motions. This was the first one, and this was the second one. That's all I got. Every joke I told, it didn't make any difference. They stood, I mean, I thought I was preaching in a wax museum. And I'm telling you, man, it was trouble. I threw out everything I had. I pulled all the cards out of the back pocket. Man, I'm telling you, he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the resurrected saint. Man, I'm sweating my guts and gallbladders hanging over in the baptistry. I'm telling you, I'm preaching the best way I know how. And man, I couldn't get nothing going. And boy, we get in the car and headed to the home, headed to the house, and the boys say, "Boy, Dad, you had a little trouble in the night, didn't you?" God wasn't even in that place. 7, 8 years old, they knew that. Because, ladies and gentlemen, some folks are just not as committed. But these boys had a commitment. Way, way past, before they ever got started, they had a commitment that they was going to serve God no matter what. Now, number two, they got a commitment that steered them. Number two, there's a Christ that secured them. Don't get ahead of me right there. These Hebrew boys are in trouble. The music started playing, and the summons by the king, you're supposed to bow. When you hear the music, you're supposed to bow down. When you hear that rock and roll music, you're supposed to you're supposed to bow down. And just get the picture. Get the picture right here. Everybody's bowing down, and you got three boys standing up. Ain't y'all scared? Nope. The king got so mad. Why we got three boys standing up? Everybody else is bowing down to my image here. A 6 by 6 by 6. Why is these three boys any different? Bring them here. Brought them boys. Boys, why didn't y'all bow? They said, "We don't care to answer that. We'd be glad to answer that. We will not bow down to this image. Not going to. I don't care how many laws you pass, how many mandates you give. I am not. I'm standing firm. I ain't." We made this commitment a long time ago. And I ain't bowing down. Our God will deliver us. Now watch what he says. A good verse in the Bible to memorize. "Even if God don't, I still ain't." How many of us got that kind of commitment, that kind of faith? Even if he don't, I still ain't bowing down to this stupid God you got. So people, you ought not make fun of other people's religion. Oh, yeah, I do. Look, if your dead God can't get himself out of the graveyard, how in the world do you expect him to get you out of the graveyard one day? Out of 4,700 different religions in the world, there ain't but one empty tomb, and that's over in Jerusalem, and Jesus Christ ain't there. We serve a risen Savior. And I know he is able to deliver. But I tell you what, that king got so mad. You read the story, same story I did. The king got so mad. He bound them boys up. He said, "Turn that furnace up 7 times. Turn the temperature 7 times hotter." He commanded his best army. A couple of them guys, he said, "Hey, take them boys, throw them in." And boy, it was so hot. They threw them boys in and they died. The guys that threw them in, it was so hot, they died. They were bound. They were thrown in the furnace. And they're sitting there, and all of a sudden, now watch this, all of a sudden, what had them bound burn off. What Satan bound them with, God used the furnace to burn off of them. What Satan had them bound with, God says, "Well, let me just use this furnace to burn it off." So the only thing that burned on them were the things that the devil placed on them. The Bible says, if we'd have kept reading, they did not burn. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. You know how you go into a convenience store and you come out and you smell like, you know, You go into a convenience store, buy some whatever, and you come out, and you're like, whoo, man, what in the world? You know, you don't even smell that on you anymore. These boys come out and had no smell on them whatsoever. The only thing that burnt was what had them bound. That Bible says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Now, God didn't say the weapon won't be formed. He just said the weapon that's formed won't prosper. Amen. You're going to have weapons formed against you, but God says it just won't prosper. This weapon right here was formed against them. It just didn't prosper. Now, if old Nebuchadnezzar could do this all over again, he made a big mistake. Y'all know that, don't you? He made a big mistake. What he should have done, and if he had it to do over, he'd have thrown them in one at a time. He'd have thrown Shadrach in, watched him burn. He'd have thrown Meshach in, watched him burn. And then he'd throw Abednego in and watched him burn. But he made a bad mistake, and he threw them all three in at the same time. Because when he threw them all three in at the same time, what took over is the verse that says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst. You say, preacher, I'm going through a horrible burning furnace. You need to find two or three people that's going through some of the same things. Get down into this altar and say, God, we need to get you in the midst of this thing so we can see you in the midst of the fire. Oh, yeah. A Christ that secured them. That Bible says what? Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now you got a commitment that steered them. You had a Christ that secured them. And now you have a consideration that settled them. Now you notice this. Watch this. Watch. These boys are thrown in the fire and they're sitting there going, well, they're expecting to hurt, wouldn't you? They're expecting to burn. But all of a sudden, their hands and their feet, they're bound, and all of a sudden they come loose, but they don't feel any hurt. And they're loosed and they're walking around, and Shadrach looks at Meshach and says, what's going on? So they say, well, let's Google this. In the furnace of fire, feeling no pain. Let me check my symptoms. Y'all know if you check your symptoms on that med MD, you'll be dead by in the morning. You run your symptoms in there, you're going to die in the morning, okay? You'll find something in there, man, you're going to die of. Quit doing it. So he's Googling his symptoms. We're in the fire. We ain't burning. You know, all of this. And Abednego says, hey, guys, get off your phone. There's somebody else in here with us. We ain't in here by ourselves. That right there is him who we read about in the Old Testament. Can I tell y'all something? The king looked in there. He says, I threw in three men, but I'm counting four, and the fourth appears to be the Son of God. The Son of God hadn't been born yet. But the Son of God, that same one that we're fixing to celebrate here in the month of December, the one that we say that his birthday was in December, but I got news for you. Jesus ain't never had a birthday. He's always been. He's never had a beginning. In the beginning, God, the same yesterday, today, forever. He was in the Old Testament just like he is in the New Testament, and he's never had a beginning. Them Hebrew boys says, that's him right there. Now, y'all ready? I'm coming in for the landing. Y'all ready? You got three Hebrew boys. They were bound. Now they're loosed. They're feeling no hurt. They're not burning. And they got somebody else in there with them. Now, let me ask y'all a question. I see stuff sometimes. My daddy always told me, said, boy, you see stuff that ain't in there. I said, well, daddy, that's what I'm thinking. If y'all were thrown into the fire furnace, okay, follow me. If you were thrown in the fire furnace, and now you're unbound, you're able to move around. My question for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you are free, why aren't you trying to get out? ain't y'all trying to climb out of here? But I want y'all to get the picture. Because the picture in the fiery furnace, everybody's calm. Matter of fact, everybody's walking around. I bet you one of them's got a little strut going on. It's in there, David. You just got to read it. It's in there. I bet you they're in there. And my question is, Shadrach, Meshach, why ain't y'all trying to get out? And this is what it appears to be. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, we had rather be in here with him than out there without him. We'd rather be in here with him than out there with that stupid king that ain't got a God without him. So we just gonna stay down here. We're more comfortable in here. Some of you going through a fiery furnace. Hey, you need to learn to not look at the fire. Don't look at the furnace, but try to find the Father. Because that Bible says where two or three gather together, there I'll be in the midst. Say, preacher, I'm going through a fiery furnace. Well, you need to get to a couple more that's going through some trouble. I've often wondered, I said, you ever notice when somebody, they come to the altar and say, hey, come pray with me. I need somebody to come pray with me. Come pray with me. I'm always, growing early in my Christian life, I said, well, won't you pray for yourself? Why you need me to help you? And then I learned where two or three are gathered together in my name, the Lord says, I'll jump right in the midst of it. You say, preacher, why am I going through a fiery furnace? Well, it could be that somebody else needs you. That fire you're going through, the fire that somebody else is going through, and the fire that this one's going through, y'all come together. Jesus said, I'll meet you right in the midst. And I promise you, it'll be more comfortable in here with him than it is out without him. Sammy, you come help me. Listen, I don't know what you're going through. I don't have any idea. But I know what it takes to walk through the midst of the fire. You're going to have a commitment. You're going to have a Christ. And there's a consideration to be made. I'll be honest, there were times, you know, I've been through some stuff and I ain't got time to tell you about it today, but I've been through a furnace to where I didn't even feel like defending myself, just throwing your hands up and quit. I've done it a couple times. Got shot one time and ain't always worked out good for me. And then I said, Lord, you know, oh Satan, when you get so low, you ever been there? Or is it just me? Y'all pray for me if it ain't been y'all. When you get so low, you just feel so bound. And God says, I'll send a fire furnace your way to get you loose from what's got you tangled up. Many of you remember I came out here, and boy, it took me forever to make my mind up. I said, I don't have any peace about it. Don't have any peace about it. You know, don't care nothing about it right now. But you know, when the Bible says the gifts and calling to God without repentance, if he calls you to do something, he don't change his mind tomorrow. So I've tried to quit a few times, and God wouldn't let me. He said, you didn't call yourself, I called you. And then when you had a dad like I had, you'd have to read your Bible very much. You just call him every morning and say, hey, I plan on preaching on it. Where's this right here found to go away with that? He said, well, right here, if I was doing it, I'd do this, and I'd go there, and there's a verse over here that'd match up with that one right there. Man, you know, you can do your whole sermon in 30 minutes on the phone with Dad. And then the Lord took my dad And I found myself in the fiery furnace again. And the Lord says, it's time for you to start doing your own studying. It's time to start looking for me in the fire. And you know what? I had to learn to find God in the midst of whatever you're going through. I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you this right now. Those three Hebrew boys, they said, even if God don't deliver us, I'm going to serve God. No matter what anybody else said, I'm going to serve God no matter what. You say, preacher, they might not like it. I'm going to serve God anyway. If he don't deliver, I'm still not bowing down to a dead image that don't work. How about you today? That commitment level. The Christ that'll meet you right there in the middle. How about you? Let's all stand all over the building. Altars are open. Why don't you come? Where two or three are gathered. Who's coming to the altar? Sammy's playing.